You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Look at every big mission that we've had that the public knows about for the last decade or so. Osama bin Laden, Soleimani, Baghdadi, and everybody likes those. And a lot of the people who think we shouldn't be anywhere in the world except on our own shores, they say, see, we can just go do that kind of stuff. And we don't have to have a forward presence. Well, I suggest you figure out what you know what you're talking about, because the only reason we were ever able to do those things is, one, because we were forward deployed, we had networks in place, we were doing the intelligence collections prior to, and we had people on the ground forward stage so that they could actually commit and do those missions. So we have no ability to do that anymore. We have no ability to keep Americans safe.
Excellent point. We have no ability to keep Americans safe. Those are the words of Congressman Dan Crenshaw, Republican of Texas. This is September 2nd, 2021. He's talking about, of course, what many of us, and I will agree with, I've said the same, I really don't want U.S. boots on the ground all over the world policing every nation. We don't want to do that. We don't want to put men and women, Americans, in harm's way unless absolutely necessary. But what he's pointing out, with this pullout of Afghanistan, which is long overdue, many are rushing forward and say, okay, never, never, never again put any troops anywhere. When we got into Afghanistan in the beginning, we went in with a mission to find Osama bin Laden and go out to Al-Qaeda and destroy it because of 9/11. We did that. We didn't move out at that point. We're still trying to help the Afghans get control of their own country, train them, and so forth. We are in other theaters as well right now. We're in South Korea with a massive force. We're not pulling out of there. And there are other areas that are not necessarily theaters of war right now, but they're theaters of operation where we do still need to have a presence, if nothing else, to have nearby bases, but also to get intel. We're going to get into that in more detail over the next 2 hours. In the meantime, Afghans, thousands of going to be dispersed across the face of the U.S. Many truly need help and qualify for asylum under our asylum laws because they're facing execution, them and their families, because they helped us when we were in Afghanistan. This is not the same as the border crossers. I want to remind you of that. Those coming across the border, for the most part, just want to have a better life or maybe come here and start a gang war, and are, in some cases, they are terrorists from the Middle East sneaking across our border, posing as Latin Americans, Central Americans, whatever. But the question is, for all Afghans we're bringing in, and something like 1,000-plus will be in the St. Louis area, another 1,000-plus in Kansas City area, 2,000 maybe in Chicago, numbers here and there are going to be scattered everywhere, something like 150,000 plus. Well, are we vetting all of them to make sure that they are not terrorists mixed in? That's a big question. Supreme Court making a 5-4 decision upholding the Texas Heartbeat Bill. That's the first state in the nation to ban an abortion since 1973. Now, is that a premature statement? No pun intended. Is it an incorrect statement? We're going to be joined a little bit later by Heritage Constitutional Expert Hans von Spakovsky. Plus, do you have to be a member of the U.S. House of Representatives? Listen to this, please. Do you have to be a member of the U.S. House of Representatives to be Speaker of the House? The answer might surprise you. A friend asked me this question the other day, and I said, well, yes, you do. I got surprised. Here's the key. Is this a way for Donald Trump? Is this a way for Donald Trump to take the gavel from the hands of the Speaker of the House now, Nancy Pelosi? We will get into that. And, of course, poetic license gives many the authority to rewrite fiction, history even, make it a newer or at least a better book maybe, or maybe a worse book, play, movie. How about Cinderella? A remake of Cinderella now breaking out across the, I think, Prime, maybe Netflix. I think it's Prime, Amazon Prime. The fairy godmother in this poetic license, the fairy godmother is a man. Is that woke culture, or is that just trying to be funny and have some fun with it? And then the teacher that didn't have a U.S. flag for Sue's Pledge Allegiance to said you can pray to the LGBT flag. Punishment for her. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The commitment hole is to get everyone out that, in fact, we can get out, and everyone should come out. And that's the objective. That's what we're doing now. That's the path we're on. And I think we'll get
there. So Americans should understand that troops might have to be there beyond August 31st.
No, Americans should understand that we're going to try to get it done before August 31st.
But if we don't, the troops will stay.
If we don't, we'll determine at the time who's left.
And
if there are American forces, if there's American citizens left, we're going to stay till we get them all out.
Liar, liar, pants on fire. Let me be very direct about it. That's the remarks, that President Biden gave to George Stephanopoulos, one of his favorite people to speak to in the media because he would one time was a Clinton advisor and now is with what ABC. But he did get asked a good question. I mean, Stephanopoulos said so. Americans should be prepared to accept that we'll have troops there past August 31 if we still have people to be brought out. And Biden said, we will get everyone out. We will get everyone out. No American will be left behind. That's what he's suggesting, right? That was August 18th. Let's move a few days ahead to his deadline that he set. Along with the Taliban, he agreed to what they said, August 31. All your people need to be out of here by August 31, or we'll consider you're now an invader of our country, which is now run by the Taliban, no longer the Afghan government, and there'll be hell to pay. So he said, we're going to get everybody out. And so then that's what he said, August 18. We will get every American out. Fast forward to August 31, the deadline to leave. And he makes this statement.
The bottom line, 90% of Americans in Afghanistan who wanted to leave were able to leave. And for those remaining Americans, there is no deadline. We remain committed to get them out if they want to come out. Secretary of State Blinken is leading the continued diplomatic efforts to ensure safe passage for any American, Afghan partner, or foreign national who wants to leave Afghanistan.
Anybody that wants to get out, we will get out. Secretary of State Blinken is going to be in charge of that. I am washing my hands of that. Just as I wash my hands clean of what's happening at the border and turned over to VP Harris, who is still missing in action, by the way. Nowhere to be seen. Certainly not doing a damn thing about the border. And we still don't know how many illegals coming across the border are maybe not just from the Northern Triangle or Mexico, but might actually be Taliban terrorists, Al-Qaeda terrorists, ISIS terrorist, anybody that wants to come across our border and kill and maim and destroy either individuals and families and or our nation. But by God, we got out on August 31, as Biden said we will be out, and every American that wanted to get out, well, 90%, as he said, 90% of every American who wanted to get out got out. And if there ain't left there and they want to come out, we will send Secretary Blinken to work on that. Riddle me this, President Biden. The latest report is 30 California children are still probably stranded in Afghanistan. There's been no word from them. The California School Board, at least officials representing the school board in three different districts, confirmed to the Associated Press that 30 children, in their words, quote, and I'm quoting, have been forgotten by the U.S. government. The AP reporting the children remained stranded due to Biden pulling U.S. forces from the country before the children could make their way through the Taliban terrorist checkpoints en route to the extraction point at the airport. The San Juan Union School District in Sacramento identified 27 students from 19 families still stranded. Another school district inside Sacramento said they had three trapped children in hiding. A Union School District spokesman told the AT she believes, quote, some of these families may be in transit out of Afghanistan as we've not been able to reach many of them in the last few days. And a Sacramento City Unified School District spokesman said, the only word I can say is heartbreaking. And I sincerely hope for their speedy and safe return back to the U.S. Well, how many Americans do we have left in Afghanistan? These are 29 or 30 identified by a school district. We have that many left. But is that all? Is that all the Americans? Even the White House and Blinken and Pentagon seem to be throwing around numbers like, well, there could be hundreds. And then maybe by hundreds, if you're thinking, because when I hear hundreds, I don't think of 200 or even 300. I think of multiple hundreds, maybe approaching 1,000, maybe over 1,000. But Biden told the world the other day, 10% of Americans in Afghanistan are still there, but the number's only maybe 100 to 200. Do you believe that? He also said some of them are dual citizens, longtime residents who had decided to stay because of their family roots in Afghanistan. I don't buy that one bit. If I have family roots in Afghanistan and my family's there and I might be in putting them in danger because I am an American, then I also hold an American status. I want my family out and, of course, I want myself out. So we don't know how many. But they really don't want to go too high. They said, we only had about 11,000 in the country right before the collapse. Where did they come up with the 11,000? Can you riddle me that? Because in the beginning, they said, well, there's no way we'd know. I mean, maybe they didn't check in. If they don't check in the U.S. Embassy, we don't even know if they're there. That is wrong. That is wrong and stupid for them to think that we are that stupid to believe it. You go into that country, they see your passport. It is scanned. It's evidence you've entered the country legally. And if you leave the country legally, your passport's scanned again so they can say, Larry went in, and here's where Larry came out. Or Larry went in, and we don't see that he ever came out. Now, did he escape over the border and get somewhere else? Has he been captured? I fully expect, I regret to say this, but you can mark it and put it down right now. I fully suspect in the near future we're going to see Americans being held captive in direct captivity of members of the Taliban or Al-Qaeda. They're very closely aligned, the two of them. Or ISIS, which is warring against the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, but they would also take Americans, and then using them as bartering chips for, well, you want this person? $50 billion. Well, we don't pay ransoms, extortions. Not supposed to, because once you do, you end up doing it over and over again. This debacle is absolutely going to be crippling us for years to come in relations with other countries. We're going to spend a lot of time on that as well in the second part of today's program, the second hour. But as I also had told you, and I'm sure many of you said, that can't be true, that she didn't really do that, that Congresswoman House Speaker Nancy Pelosi refused to allow the names of the 13 Americans, the Marines and the Navy corpsmen who were killed in that bombing, that explosion, she would not allow their names to be read. What have you said? I'd like to read a list of those killed by police that we think were incorrectly killed by police. Oh, okay. Maybe that's what you have to do. You say that, and then you switch names at the last and let her gavel, order, order, point of order, you're out of order, sit down. Congressman Kevin McCarthy, Republican of California, said the other day as he rose to the floor, he said, this debacle and the whole way we're handling things, he's not saying it's in these words, but I will for him, there's going to be hell to pay.
So when the speaker came to the floor to speak, I turned my volume up. Surely she was going to speak of this day. Surely she was going to talk about the Gold Star families. Surely she was going to thank those veterans and those who have served here, knowing what they are going through and what they're watching. You know what she said? Speaker Pelosi actually said, "Today is a great day of pride for our country and Democrats. Today is a great day of pride for our country and our Democrats." Let me be very clear, it is not. It's an embarrassing day for our nation. We are 3 weeks away from the 20th anniversary of 9/11. And this is what history will write. This is what you did with your majority. This is what you controlled. This is what you made sure you would not release the floor for the idea that Americans can find out how many are stuck in Afghanistan or how they're going to get home. I hope you're proud of that. Because this is what your leadership has done. This is what your leadership worked on. This is what the power of the twisting of the arm has delivered. The United States of America is not going to let terrorists dictate when and how we get Americans out.
We would not, should not, but we are at this point. Because we have no more forces officially in Afghanistan. We may well have special ops on the ground trying to carry out some actions. And, of course, we can't talk about them if we have them right now. We don't want that to be public, obviously, for obvious reasons. And, of course, you had some congressmen go there on an unauthorized trip as we were nearing that date of August 31, and they came back said, and they didn't say anything until they came back and said, we can't get everybody out of there in that amount of time. And as we're rushing to get many out, not just Americans, but we're trying, and rightly so, honoring our word to Afghans who served as interpreters or helped us in various ways to get them and their families out to give them asylum because they're going to be killed at some point. We have untold numbers of Afghans who are being spread across our nation. Most of them are going to be extremely thankful and welcome and will add to our communities. But mixed in with them, we've already seen at planes when they've been going in first to Germany or to Qatar or some other third country before they come here, second country, we're realizing there are a lot of terrorists on board mixed in with them. Well, of course, President Biden says, oh, no, we're making sure that nobody like that gets into the U.S. That's what he says.
We're conducting thorough security screening in the intermediate stops they're making for anyone who is not a U.S. citizen or a lawful permanent resident of the United States. Anyone arriving in the United States will have undergone a background check.
Really? Really? Anyone arriving in the United States. Now, of course, he's talking about Afghans that if we bring in. Those coming across the border, there's no background check there generally. And I'm willing to bet there's no real background check being done on many that are going to be dispersed across the face of this nation. And even the state-controlled media and other leftists and progressives are beginning to find this very sticky, sticky situation. Stand by.
USA. Larry Connors, USA.
This war used to be called Operation Enduring Freedom, and it's turned out not to be enduring, and they're not leaving behind a society that is free. It is only free according to what the Taliban says it will be free. The Taliban promises that it will be free. So you could also look at this as a tremendously humiliating moment of American humiliation,
right.
Leaving, forced to leave on the Taliban's clock and with the Taliban's good graces. So tactically it makes sense, but I'm not sure how history will judge this moment as a very dark period for the United States.
A dark period of history for the United States. That is an NBC chief foreign correspondent, Richard Engel. He made that statement the other day, and I felt it was worth playing again. If you got state-controlled media and high operatives, like a chief foreign correspondent, saying what we've done here is going to be a dark history, then you can tell Biden is having a lot of headwinds inside his own party. We already know that, but they don't want to be that public about it. And the audio that got released the other day, the recording that Reuters reported on about a discussion he was having, Biden having at that time with the Afghan president, Ghani, and saying, hey, the perception is, you got to show the perception, regardless of what the reality is, act like everything's good and you're in control. You got to do it. In other words, lie to your people, and I can lie to my people. Somebody inside the Biden administration decided that should be made public. That's good. And remember, they were always releasing tapes that Trump was having, conversations with foreign leaders. So I'm glad somebody in there said, you know, this we have to have this public. Good. And even former Senator Joe Lieberman, independent of Connecticut, the 2000 Democrat Party vice presidential nominee, ripping Biden's decision to pull troops out as he did, and then calling it a success. Lieberman said, I think the president, speaking about Biden, has been wrong about Afghanistan for quite a long time because he's been wanting to withdraw our troops. And he said he's warning that everyone is now going to pay for allowing Afghanistan to be taken over by the Taliban. His remarks, and I'm quoting, truth is, we had not lost an American soldier since February of 2020, until those 13 were tragically killed by the terrorists as a consequence of the decision to withdraw and the botched evacuation plan. So, yeah, I'm disappointed. And I think we're all going to pay for it. First of all, the people in Afghanistan. He said they are a radical Islamist terrorist group, talking about the Taliban. They're going to welcome other radical Islamic terrorist groups to Afghanistan, which they already have, Al-Qaeda and ISIS, who will aim to strike us from there as Al-Qaeda did 9/11. I mean, it's just tragic, totally unnecessary. The country and America's role in it had reached a balance. We should have left it alone. It was worth it. Trump had a plan to, yes, get all boots off the ground by May 1. He made the deal with the Taliban, and they were going to, he said, you hold to the agreements I put in front of you. If you hold to those agreements, then we will move out. But if you break our conditions, you change them, we will hit back, and especially if you take an American life, we will hit everything. We will know where you live. We will hit your village. They did nothing. They knew the man was serious. But as soon as they realized he's no longer president, Joe Biden stuck somewhere in a basement. You think that was going to stop him? And so when Biden said just a moment ago and is insisting, we're vetting all of these coming in, and you're thinking, well, Larry, you're just making a lot of this up. They probably are. They know who's coming in and where they're going. Well, first of all, if they know where they're going, why are we not being told? Why are we not being told specifically? Why are we not being told how many are coming in, much less how many Americans we still have left behind and Afghan allies we have? Well, here's a perfect example. The unaccompanied alien children border loophole, where thousands of young people have been allowed to come across if they're picked up by a sponsor. Axios is reporting the government's already investigating whether dozens of them were turned over to labor traffickers, are told and sold off as sex slaves. In other words, they're admitting the U.S. does not know where thousands of these kids are. They came across our border. We don't know where they are. Do you think we have any way of knowing who's coming across because Biden says so? All right, the Texas heartbeat law, that issue coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned, Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
January 23rd, 1973, the day of Roe v. Wade, was the last time a state had laws banning abortion. Today, September 1st, 2021, is the first day since 1973 where a state has legally banned abortion. There are no more abortion clinics functioning in Texas. Zero.
Zero. The words of Jeffrey Toobin, CNN analyst, legal analyst. And, of course, it was being challenged. It went right all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court today, ruling 5-4, is not going to block that new Texas law banning most abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. So what's in play here, and where does it go from here? Our guest, you've heard him numerous times before, expert in constitutional law with the Heritage Foundation, Hans von Spakovsky. Welcome aboard, Hans.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
So this 5-4 decision of the Supreme Court now, it's based just on the Texas case. First of all, the Texas case is built upon that a fetal heartbeat can be detected as early as 6 weeks, sometimes before a woman really knows she's pregnant. And based on that, no abortion.
Yeah, but the claims of the Supreme Court has somehow changed Roe versus Wade already is simply not the case, because what was before the court was not not the substance of the law, because the lawsuit, that's been filed against the law, it's only recently been filed, and it's still down in the courts in Texas. What was up before the Supreme Court was an emergency petition by the folks who sued, saying asking the Supreme Court to enjoin the law, to stop it from going into effect. And that's an unusual request to the Supreme Court. It's rare that the Supreme Court is going to stop a law from going into effect on an emergency petition before the case has even made it through the lower court, before the Supreme Court has been briefed on it.
So that really, Justice Alito was the one approached at that time, and he went ahead and referred immediately to the full court. And we look at the appointments made by Trump in particular, Amy Coney Barrett being one of the last. That 5-4 decision, how much of that is resting upon, well, the votes actually went down with Alito, Thomas, Gorsuch, another Trump appointed, Kavanaugh, a Trump appointed, and Barrett. There's your 5-4 count, but is it going to hold?
Well, I don't know. We're going to have to see what happens when the case is litigated and actually makes it to the court. I think they would have to pare back some of the restrictions in the Roe versus Wade decision. But look, what folks need to keep in mind is that, look, in the more than 50 years since that decision, our medical knowledge and our technology has advanced quite a bit. They didn't have that much information back then on when exactly a fetus becomes viable. I mean, all the kinds of things that today provide us so much more information. Well, like sonograms, for example, just didn't exist. It just didn't exist. So it is time for the Supreme Court to take another look at this case and decide whether was it wrongly decided. Is all the new information we have mean that the guidelines and parameters of that case should be changed? That's what's going to happen when this case gets to the court, as well as remember, there's already a case up there about a Mississippi abortion law.
And in fact, other states have passed so-called heartbeat bills. But once they got signed into law, the abortion rights activists filed the lawsuits, challenged them. Courts were blocking them, unconstitutional in light of the 73 ruling. What makes the Texas measure unique and different at this point?
Well, I think it's two things, actually. One, and some states are doing this, you know, it's based on banning abortions once a heartbeat is detected. But the other thing that Texas did, which is very smart, is that this law can't be enforced. There's no provision for it to be enforced by the state of Texas. The reason they did that was because when a state official has the ability to enforce a law, that gives plaintiffs, like the ones in this case, the ability to sue the state saying they've acted unconstitutionally. So, in fact, what they did instead in this bill, like I said, it's kind of unique, is they created a private right of action. And what that means is that any resident of Texas can sue any abortion provider who is violating the law and can get attorney's fees, costs, and a potential civil penalty against the abortion provider, which, like I said, makes it a very interesting law and I think even harder for the courts to stop.
Yeah, and they could use it as it stands now against doctors or medical personnel who provided them after 6 weeks gestation, any individual or entity that aids in it. Plus, then they've got to be able to pay all damages to the person who sued, plus $10,000 for each illegal abortion they perform or assist, plus the legal cost. I mean, there's a lot tacked on, but in the midst of all this, as you properly put in the context, I also look at the remarks by Chief Justice John Roberts, who wrote in dissent. He said the applicants now before us have raised serious questions regarding the constitutionality of the Texas law at issue, but their application also presents complex, novel, antecedent procedural questions on which they have not carried their burden.
Right. And that's a key thing to remember. You know, folks like Jeffrey Toob and others on the left are basically hysterical over this. And they're making claims that are not true, that somehow the Supreme Court has overruled Roe versus Wade. None of that has happened. This was just a procedural issue, not the substance of the law. That was not before the court, simply whether the court should step in and stop what's going on down in the lower courts in Texas. And what the court said is, no, we're going to wait for this to be litigated, briefed, argued in the lower courts. And at some point after it's appealed, then they'll look at it.
Would you concede it is a win for the pro-lifers at this point, but there are a lot of minefields still to go through?
Yeah, I think that's actually a very good way of putting it.
Okay. Another question I have for you. This came up in a conversation, dinner conversation with a friend the other day. And he asked me, and I'm going to admit, I'm stupid on this point. He said, do you know that you can be the Speaker of the House? You don't even have to be a member of Congress? I said, well, you got to be a member of Congress to be the Speaker of the House. He said, no, you don't. I said, well, let's just Google that stuff since we can do that now. And he turned out to be right. I did not know the Constitution does not directly state you had to be a member of the chamber. And, of course, that raises a question for many. Donald Trump, can Donald Trump be, if we gain control of the House, full control of the House here in midterm, which we could do now, I guess, could he be made Speaker, be brought in, and take the gavel out of the hands of Nancy Pelosi?
The answer to that is absolutely yes. If you look at Article 1, Section 2 of the Constitution, it says the House of Representatives shall choose their Speaker and other officers. So all that says is basically the majority in the House can choose who their Speaker will be and who the other officers will be. And it says nothing about them having to be a member, an elected member. And the way to think about this is, remember, the House, in addition to a Speaker, has, for example, a Sergeant of Arms. They have a clerk of the House. Neither the sergeant at arms nor the clerk are elected members of Congress.
Well, I understand that. I mean, I don't look at them as having any legislative action, but the speaker does.
But that's all part of this one sentence. So now consider the fact this has never happened in American history. So it would be unprecedented, but it would be perfectly constitutional if the majority controlling the House wanted to do that. They could basically choose anybody they wanted to, including, Larry, you or me.
Well, I hope they would choose you because I certainly would not be qualified. But I did notice, once I got off the floor and bowing repeatedly my apologies, I started looking at it, and just what you said, the Constitution does not directly state must be a member, but that's kind of the way it's been. But I do see that back in July 19 this year, July, The Hill was reporting on Congresswoman Brenda Boyle, Democrat of Pennsylvania, introducing a bill that only an elected House member can serve as Speaker. In other words, they're already trying to set the roadblock up where one doesn't exist at this point.
Yeah, but the problem with her, she obviously doesn't understand the Constitution.
Well, that doesn't
because
surprise
me. You can't, with a statute, override the Constitution. The only way to do what she wants to do is if you actually amended the Constitution. Any statute that was passed by Congress that said to be the Speaker, you have to be an elected member, the Supreme Court would immediately find that to be unconstitutional. You can't do that.
All right. And I need to clarify something. I identified and I put you in the same box. I apologize. Brendan Boyle. I thought it was a female. It's a man by the name of Brendan, which I know men like that, too. I just made the wrong assumption. So we've learned a lot in this little discussion, as always, Hans. We always appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, the only thing before I let you go again. If they call and say, Hans, will you be our Speaker of the House? Are you willing to accept, if offered, that position?
I would take it. It'd be a tough job, but boy, it sure would be interesting.
I'd love to see you do it. Hey, thanks very much. We appreciate it. Hans von Spakovsky.
Sure thing.
You bet. Folks, you remember the teacher the other day who made the students pledge to the LGBTQ flag? Well, she's facing punishment.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
My personal choice for Italian food, Cafe Napoli. Now, sometimes I want steak, fish. Hey, try the sea bass. Perfect. Plus a worldwide selection of wines. Cafe Napoli's mission is to serve you only the best. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now, the streets of St. Charles, Cafe Napoli.
1989, my thoughts were short, my hair was long. Caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Okay, so during third period, we have announcements and they do the Pledge of Allegiance. I always tell my class, stand if you feel like it. Don't stand if you feel like it. Say the words if you want. Don't have to say the words. So my class decided to stand but not say the words. Totally fine. Except for the fact that my room does not have a flag. It used to be there, but I took it down during COVID because it made me uncomfortable. And I packed it away and I don't know where, and I haven't found it yet. But my kid today goes, hey, it's kind of weird that we just stand and then, you know, we say it to nothing. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, I got to find it. Like, I'm working on it. I got you. In the meantime, I tell this kid, we do have a flag in the class that you can pledge your allegiance to. And he, like, looks around. And he goes, oh, that one?
Yeah, that one. Oh, she's so funny. That's a California teacher, Kristen Pitson, who is now an ex-teacher, at least in that California district, as an investigation is underway. Newport Mesa Unified School District, Orange County, apparently. And when she was kind of whispering at one point, saying, I took the flag down. I took down the U.S. flag because of COVID. What the hell did COVID have to do with the U.S. flag? Where's the science that we're supposed to follow on that? Is the U.S. flag spreading COVID? But she took it and she packed it away and she doesn't remember where because it meant nothing to her to begin with. But she left out the LGBTQ flag. So when the student said, well, where are we supposed to look? She said, well, you can turn and pledge to that flag, the LGBTQ flag. And remember, she said, I'd taken down the American flag because it made me uncomfortable. She's an English teacher. She now has been placed on suspension. I don't know if she's getting pay or not. She thought it was so cute. See, she put it up. She said, oh, I'm going to get a lot of people. She's mocking the U.S. flag and saying you need to pledge allegiance to the pride flag. Do that one. That's just as well. Where is she educating these students on English? I didn't see anything in that little piece, did you? And I don't know how good of a teacher she might be if you took all that crap out and she actually began to educate instead of try to indoctrinate. But that's California, right? You don't think it can get any worse out there, do you? Well, stand back. We do not know how big this is going to be. This is going to be big. Stand back. Here it comes. San Francisco. Tony Bennett left his heart. And a lot of people have because they've been shot and killed in San Francisco. They are going to start a special program in October. The Dreamkeeper Fellowship will help pay for it. They're going to look at and find 10 people who are, quote, at high risk of being on either end of a shooting. That means you would be the shooter or the shootee. They're going to pay them $300 a month if they won't get involved in a shooting. Sign me up for that. I could be a shooter. You better give me $300. They are going to pay out $300 a month to at least 10 people they identify that could be a shooter or shooting. They think this is going to stop crime of gun crime because we're going to pay them money. All of this is part of the San Francisco Mayor London Breed, Democrat, you know, planned to divert $120 million from the city law enforcement budget. You think that they just can't get more stupid, right? But they actually believe that if we pay $300 a month to these people, they will actually go ahead and not shoot at each other. They believe that. I mean, they really honestly believe it, and they expect that that's what's going to happen. and they're going to be able to have it go through like that. That's exactly what their plan is. Oh, and of course, they continue their defunding police efforts as well, too. Omar Ellison endorsing ballot measures to replace the Minneapolis police, to just replace them. San Francisco probably got to come up more money. They had 119 recorded gun crimes in the first 6 months of this year. Double what they had in the same time frame last year. They're going to need more than $300 a month. They're going to have to pick out more than just 10 people. This is insanity on display. Now, I feel for the folks who have to live there, can't get out, or they're stuck by one way or the other. And I really feel for you if you're so delusional you think this is going to be effective. In the next hour, retired Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North on how our weapons now in Afghanistan will be used against us.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.